This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, that's right. The show's Golfers on Golf. It's 10 o'clock. We're ready to tee it up. Thanks for joining us. We're going to spend the next hour bringing you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective. Here in studio this morning, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson from DuPage Golf. That's the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County Golf Courses, alongside longtime Chicago area sports journalist Rory Spears. Usually in studio with us, we have Bill Berger. We wish him safe travels this week. And we're thrilled to have our fourth on the line, the member of the Illinois Golf Hall of Fame, Len Zien, who is joining us from his Florida studios. So, hey, good morning, guys. It's always fun when the BMW Championship is being played. It's a little more fun from my perspective when it's in Chicago, but it's at a great venue out in Delaware, and I know we'll have a lot to talk about all things BMW and more going on. So, Len, how are things in Florida this morning? We've got a little bit of drizzle here in the Chicago area, but not a bad August day for golf.
Oh, we're getting fried here. Florida in August isn't heaven, but it's okay though. But boy, I tell you, it is. We're supposed to have some 100 degree temperatures in my immediate area, which we haven't been getting. But I'm looking out of my window at a golf course, and I'm going to try to play nine holes this afternoon, so it can't be all that bad.
No, that is always a great way to look at it. And we know here as we venture towards September, October, November, suddenly we'll be looking at those Florida temperatures and thinking of you, Len. And
wishing we were there.
Exactly. Wishing we were there. And Rory, you made it back in the Chicago area after a week of travel. And gosh, not a bad trip for any golfer. How'd the trip go?
Well, the trip was pretty good. Once I got past the bumpy flight out to Philly, the hassles of picking up the rental car and the bad directions from Google Maps that sent us the wrong way to our hotel, and some hotel issues, especially when there's two issues by the same chain, by the same name, in the same town, and you end up at one hotel and the rest of the people in your group end up at the other hotel 30 minutes away, and then you got to figure out how to get back and forth when you're sharing a car.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah,
for you,
yeah, definitely so. But the highlights, got to go play Pine Valley. And now I see why it's been number one for so many years, and I guess in my own little rankings it will probably be there. There are several places in America that architects have gone there. They've studied Pine Valley and tried to create kind of something like it. And so now there's opportunities to kind of play something like it. But Pine Valley is a really special place. Really enjoyed my my time there. Took a look at some of the improvements that they've made around the club over the last couple of years. And it was pretty neat. And then you know, the next day went over to the BMW Championship and marched around a little bit on the grounds, picked up a few other tidbits of news and, you know, talked to some of the pros. We'll hear from Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy, who I talked to on Thursday, and jumped on the plane and came back yesterday. But all in all, a pretty good 4 days when it came to the golf side of the trip.
Well, Rory, you had me at Pine Valley. It's got a special place in history, and there's a good reason it's on top of the almost everybody's list. And looking forward to hearing more about that. But we've got a lot to cover in this hour of golf talk. We're going to jump into a quick break. Stay tuned, because we'll be back with an action-packed show.
The Mount Prospect Golf Club, that dates back to its founding in 1926, has been restored by Essler Golf to bring back some of the features of the great courses by the famous architects of that era. While most golfers will never get to play some of the famous private clubs of that era, at Mount Prospect, you get to play the holes that are styled after the classic hole designs like Redan, Punchbowl, Eden, Cape, and Baritz. Other improvements to the Mount Prospect Golf Club include the inside of the clubhouse and the pro shop, complete with a full line of apparel, golf balls, and more. The practice facility, a major improvement with a double-ended driving range. So if you're looking for a fun course to play or need a venue for a golf outing, call the Mount Prospect Golf Club at 847-259-4200. That's 847-259-4200. Or visit golfmountprospect.com. In 2022, the Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin, located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, will host this September its fourth USGA Championship when the USGA Mid-Amateur comes to Erin Hills. Erin Hills is already one of the only six U.S. Open courses that you can play. Erin Hills was built inside the club's 652 acres of land left by the glaciers of the Kettle Moraine era. This walking-only course gives the golfer a day to settle into the nature of central Wisconsin on this top 100 it rated in the country golf course. Erin Hills has overnight rooms above its Irish pub and several cottages with multiple bedrooms for groups. So if you want to spend the night before or during multiple rounds of golf, enjoy the overnight lodging at Erin Hills. Some examples of Erin Hills fine beverages include the Erin Hills Pilsner or the Fescue Rescue that hits the spot on a hot summer day. But don't forget, test your putting skills on the new Drumlin putting course. For tee times and rooms in 2022 that are going quickly, call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769. That's 866-772-4769. And don't forget, visit erinhills.com. This segment is sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. Klein Creek now has a variety of memberships available. For more information, visit kleincreek.com or call the club at 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the Klein Creek app.
I think this is a better golf course. The Caves Valley is larger. The fairways are massive. The greens are huge. That's just my opinion of it. And, I mean, what, 27 under par one? So it's a bit of a birdie fest for my liking.
All right. It's about 8 minutes after 10 o'clock. That was Justin Thomas talking about the venue for this year's BMW Championship. And he thinks it's better than Caves Valley. That's I think that's a qualified opinion. Listeners to our show would have heard last week. Of course, we checked in with the folks at the club, and I think their membership and probably the entire community was pretty excited to be hosting a BMW championship.
Yeah, they are. As a matter of fact, you know what? They have such a great attendance at the tournament. They sold out yesterday. They sold out today. Few tickets remaining tomorrow. And there was a really good crowd that one of our guests later in the show, Tim Cronin from the Illinois Golfer, and I estimated the attendance at around 17,000 on Thursday, which isn't bad. But they are packed out there at the BMW Championship. So, and it is a great club. And now I'm told we have our first guest on the line with us. She is the teaching pro at the Mistwood Golf Club. She is a past Illinois Women's Open champion. And this week she will play in the U.S. Senior Women's Open at NCR Country Club in the Dayton, Ohio area. We welcome back to Golfers on Golf, Nicole Jure. Nicole, how are you this morning?
I'm great. How's everybody over there?
Well, we're good. We're settling in for a great hour of golf talk and what's happening in the game. And this week, Nicole, you're happening. You're happening out at NCR. You're back in the U.S. Senior Women's Open again. Congratulations. And I know that you've had some couple of great events recently, the Senior LPGA Championship, a Legends Tour event, and you've been lurking around the top of the leaderboard. And hopefully this week it's your turn to break through a little bit.
Yes, I agree. I keep knocking on that door, and then I'm just not ending the way I want. So hopefully I'm going to end the way I want this time instead of start the way I want.
Nicole, what do you know about NCR? Have you been there? What do you know about the golf course?
I don't know anything about it except for that it's hilly and tree-lined. And so that fits my game. So hopefully when I see it, I'm going to enjoy it.
Len Zeme is with us today down in the Florida studios. Len, why don't you jump in here and say good morning to Nicole?
Yeah, always good to talk to Nicole. I have was impressed, not for her golf the last time I saw her, but she spoke on behalf of two of the inductees into the Illinois Junior Golf Association's new Hall of Fame. Quite a performance to do that for two people at the same night there, Nicole. And she did it great. She did it great as well.
Thank you, Len. I appreciate it.
On the golf front, though, I'm wondering which of these two senior majors now, the LPGA one is a little new and everything, but which is the harder one to win? Which is the harder one to play in? Who's got the better field?
Well, I would say the harder one to play in would be the senior LPGA championship because the age is 45. And not 50. The U.S. Senior Women's Open the Senior Women's Open is 50 years old. So that adds a lot of players between the ages of 45 and 50, which I would imagine are pretty competitive. The younger you are, the easier it is to play good golf. But with that being said, I think more of the Hall of Famers and more of the, really solid lifetime players are going to be at the Senior Women's Open because it's such a historical tournament.
Right.
Nicole, Ed Stevenson here, and certainly we're excited to see you knocking on the door. Can't wait for that door to open. And for our listeners, I know there's a balancing act with your time. We know you're busy teaching at the beautiful Mistwood facility, and obviously preparing yourself for tournament golf too. So when an event like the Senior Women's Open comes along, is there anything different in terms of how you commit your time to preparing your game and getting yourself ready?
Well, to be honest, it's pretty hard to get ready for because my first priority is Mistwood in my teaching career. This is all sort of just like, it's fun, it's my passion, it's what I want to do, but my first commitment is to Mistwood, and I also coach at the high school, Nazareth Academy, so I'm lucky that I'm in a good position where I'm able to go out and still be able to play in these great tournaments, which is what I live for. So it's hard to prepare for, but with all that being said, we had a tournament in Minnesota last week. Michelle Redman runs a Legends Tour event, which is for the senior players on the LPGA, and it was at a great golf course up there. And that tournament, was lucky to be in that field, and so that was great preparation for the Senior Women's Open.
Well, and that's, hopefully great, great preparation and always a time crunch and balancing act. But, as we talk about being at Mistwood and your commitment there, I know you joined that Mistwood team some years back. And, I can't really think of anywhere in the Chicago area where there's a group that includes some just terrific players, some people who really make golf fun. And I got to imagine that just being with that group and being at the Mistwood location, what has it meant to you and your career, both as a teacher and as a player?
Well, I feel like I'm at one of the best facilities in the country, or even the world. I mean, it is run wonderfully. We have such a great team of people. The atmosphere is amazing from the customer standpoint, as well as the employees, the managers. We like to have a good time. We like to have fun. We are all super passionate about golf. We love to play and compete, which is why we do very well. I mean, Andy Michelson and Frank, we're all good. Chris, John Platt, we all can play. Not only can we teach and run a golf course, but, we love golf so much and we're so passionate about it. I think that's what makes the biggest difference in not only our play, but in running such a class 5-star facility.
Nicole, I know one of the topics that us in the media have been addressing of late is the scheduling of events, and it seems like we get weeks where there's tournaments on top of tournaments, and then the next 2 weeks there may be nothing on the calendar. Take us through some of the scheduling that the ladies have had to go through. It seems like you didn't have anything for a while, and then all of a sudden there was three or four tournaments there. Almost they're trying to cram them into 2 or 3 weeks, and it's got to be difficult to try and do that.
Yeah, it's crazy because we don't have very much to play in. I mean, there's like a handful of events, and then we had two of the most important events were the same week. And so the Senior LPGA Championship was in Kansas, and then everybody, all the girls who are teachers, had to get on a plane on Sunday night after they play all week long to tee it up on Monday morning for a first tournament round in Kings Mill, Virginia for the Teaching LPGA Championship. And with no practice round, you know, red eye flight, no sleep, and then they had to play for 3 days. I unfortunately didn't play in that. I would have been with them, but I had the Illinois Women's Open to play in. So I had three tournaments within an 8-day period of time. And so it was tough. It's, wow. It's just a shame that they don't plan better.
Well, it's been a problem. You know, Tim Cronin's going to join us later in the show, and he mentioned a story that Illinois Golf Hall of Famer Tommy Bartlett wrote back in the 1950s and said, winter golf organization's going to start talking to each other about scheduling. And here we are now, 60-some years later, and nothing's changed, and perhaps it's even gotten worse. So, Nicole, I'm sure you've been practicing at Mistwood and trying to golf against Andy. And, of course, Andy Michelson defending his title at the Illinois PGA Section Championship up at McRae this week. So have you two been going out there? And, of course, Frank Hohenadel, your head pro, in that tournament as well. The three of you getting out there and competing a little bit, at least at Mistwood, to get ready for competition?
Well, it would be nice. I mean, I have my hands full these days, and so does Andy and Frank. We play a little bit. That's about it. Friday's members, and other than that, it's we really don't compete that much against each other. I have yet to beat Andy or Frank, by the way. Like, I'm pretty good, but those guys are really awesome.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And so hopefully in October we'll get to play against each other when the season calms down.
Yeah. Well, Nicole, I'm sure you're putting your final preparations together to get out the door and get to Ohio. Anything else you want to tell us about the U.S. Senior Women's Open or what's happening at Mistwood before we let you go?
Well, I'm just real excited to go play, and it's going to be a great week. My mother's coming with me. She hasn't seen me play in a long time, so she's going to really enjoy it. And, you know, it's so nice that I have all the support from Mistwood. In all the years I've had on tour, all those years, I've never had so much support. And between the members and the staff and friends and whatnot, I feel like it really helps me play well. So hopefully I can put up some good numbers and finish the tournament strong.
Okay. Well, Nicole, I know that you will compete to your best ability this week at NCR. We wish you a great U.S. Senior Women's Open Championship, and we'll look forward to seeing you back out at Mistwood Golf Club in Romeoville, hopefully a little bit before you have to transfer back to the Golf Dome, Mistwood Golf Dome in Bolingbrook come November. Have a great week, and we'll try to stay in touch with you during the week. Pick up your cell phone if it's ringing. It might be me calling for another interview.
Sounds good. I'll be ready.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Play well. Thanks.
All right. Good luck, Nicole. Yeah, all right, 10:18, Golfers on Golf Radio, Ed Stevenson, Rory Spears, Len Zeem. We're going to take our next break. We'll be back with Tim Cronin from the Illinois Golfer right after this.
This segment was sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. 18 holes of golf and home to the Pier 19 restaurant in the clubhouse. The Klein Creek Pavilion for large groups, weddings, and more. Don't forget, visit kleincreek.com or call 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the new Klein Creek app. The Misswood Golf Club on Renwick Road in Romeoville is one of the Chicago area's top-rated public golf courses. Misswood's commitment to excellence continues under the McWethy family, both on and off the golf course. The Ray Hearn design not only hosts the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open every July, but other tournaments all season long. The professional staff is one of the largest in the area, so for lessons, club fittings, Misswood is the place to go. Misswood has been rated a top 100 fitting location in America by Golf Digest magazine. So golfers, go enjoy a day of Misswood golf and then cool down in McWethy's Tavern or dine outside on the pub's patio. Make your tee time today by calling 815-254-3333. That's 815-254-3333. Or visit mistwoodgc.com. And don't forget, now try out Misswood's new honey from the bee farm at Misswood Farms. Heritage Oaks Golf Club at 3535 Dundee Road in Northbrook is no longer your father's sportsman's golf and country club. Heritage Oaks is not only a new name, but it's a brand new clubhouse complete with a stylish pro shop and the Acorn Grill, a great place to enjoy food and beverage before and after golf with your choice of both indoor and outdoor dining. Located adjacent to the bar is the new simulator room with two simulators that make golf, golf lessons, and club fittings a year-round option at Heritage Oaks. The new putting green is over double the size of the previous one, and the driving range is both double-sided and has the famed TrackMan technology. So if you like to get all of your stats and numbers that you need to know about your game, you can do so now with the help of TrackMan. Heritage Oaks is a 27-hole golf facility, so whether it's playing the 18-hole classic course or the legacy 9-hole course, come out and play the new Heritage Oaks Golf Club with new greens, tees, and fairways by calling 847-291-2351. That's 847-291-2351. Or online, visit heritageoaksgc.com.
Well, it doesn't matter how hard a golf course is. If it's going to be ball in hand and it's soft, we're going to tear it up. All of us went into that week after playing a practice round saying that we thought 5, 7, 8 under was going to win the tournament, but it was just so soft. The course had no defense. If you miss the fairway, it's an easy up and a lot easier up and down. The fairways are so much easier to hold in the hard dog leg. So I would hope that the renovations weren't made because of that. And obviously, I think a lot of the golf course, but you know, hopefully we'll go to it down the road and check it out again.
All right, that's Justin Thomas talking about Medina Country Club. Of course, when it hosted the BMW Championship a few years back, there were a lot of birdies, and he mentioned the renovations. The course three is, the famed course three is getting ready to undergo a major renovation. I think some significant change, particularly on the back nine, and it will be ready to maybe pose a little stiffer challenge when the President's Cup is there, I believe, in 2026, but lots to look forward to, I know, to talk about for that famed Chicago area venue in the years ahead. In the meanwhile, here in studio, I'm Ed Stevenson alongside Rory Spears. We have Len Ziem on the line. And guys, this time when we're talking about the BMW Championship, of course, our focus is a little bit further east at a venue that is showing itself to be, I think, a pretty good test of golf. Leaders going into the weekend at 8 under. And, you know, exciting to always see it at a new venue and something that maybe, you know, a place that hasn't maybe been in the spotlight for a while, Rory.
Yeah, I talked to a few of the pros about that on Thursday when I was there. We'll hear from Rory McIlroy later in the show. I asked him about the new venue to the FedEx Cup playoffs. And in our last 35, 36 minutes of the season here, we want to do a little roundtable chatting, some thoughts on what we saw this year, what we're going to see next year. We'll look into our crystal ball. And since I had to come back from Delaware already, we're going to add to the panel today. Someone is still at Wilmington Country Club in Delaware. And we bring in from the Illinois golfer, Tim Cronin. TC, how are you this morning?
It's a beautiful day for golf in Wilmington, Delaware. Wish I was playing. This is a day for birdies. The leader, Adam Scott, at 8-under, he's not off the first tee for a couple of hours yet. But if you're watching early coverage, you're going to be watching a lot of John Rahm, who went out in 5-under par 30 and is now 4-under for the championship, just 4 back, and he's chasing it.
Well,
and it is a day where others are going to do the same. If you play the first hole, you better make a birdie. 38 players have played it so far, and 17 have made a 3 on that hole.
Well, Tim, sorry you didn't make the cut for the weekend, but glad you're still there. And, you know, it's...
I made breakfast, at least, so that was good.
Good. That's going to be a long day otherwise. But fun to be talking about tournament golf. We know there's been, you know, no shortage of distractions here with all things happening off the course with the LIV Golf Tour and legal challenges, all that sort of stuff. Here at a venue that's you know, energized by seeing tournament play and a full galleries, how much of the talk is about what's right in front of them versus still some maybe backroom chatter about everything else happening in the world of golf?
Well, strolling about the premises yesterday morning and afternoon, it's about 90% golf and 10% the LIV PGA Tour scrap. The big rumor yesterday was actually an old rumor that Hideki Matsuyama, your once-removed Masters champion, has already signed a $400 million deal with LIV Golf and will move over after the President's Cup. That came up apparently just after the U.S. Open. But it was a topic of conversation yesterday, and most of the people said, I might as well take it. Why not? Especially if this thing only lasts 3 years, everybody will go back on the PGA Tour, and you'll have $400 million more dollars in your pocket. That is kind of the economic logic to it. I can see that. Others would say, well, you can't take the money from a group that murders people. But on the other hand, it is $400 million, and eventually the regimes do change.
So. Yeah, yeah, Tim, you know, be careful, by the way, out there. They are sold out again today. We don't want you out on the course getting trampled by these large galleries, you know. And I'll tell you what, you know, another topic, and I'm going to start by throwing this one over at Len Zeem. The BMW Championship, the Western Golf Association, came out this week and announced their plans for the next few years about where this tournament is going to be. And one place, for the most part, it's not going to be is here in town. It will be here next year at Olympia Fields Country Club. They get a mulligan, a do-over, because they were pretty much crushed a couple years ago with no fans and due to the height of COVID at the time. But after Olympia Fields, they're going to go to Colorado. They're going to go back to Caves Valley, not wanting to compete with the President's Cup here. They're going to go back to Belle Reve, where this BMW concept pretty much started about 13, 14 years ago. So we're going to have a run where the BMW Championship is not in town, 5 out of 6 years here. And for all they do for golf, there's people saying the WGA and the PGA Tour are abandoning the city of Chicago. And Len, what's your take on that as the PGA Tour pretty much isn't going to be here for a long time?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing here. Facebook, there was a lot of Facebook talk today about forgetting about the Western Open and its rich history, and that Chicago has been left out. And that's true. It is sad. I can understand the decision of moving the BMW around has made some big money boost for the Evans Scholars Foundation. On a more positive note, I have to be excited about next year's scheduling, because, and it's not just because the BMW is coming back to Chicago at Olympia Fields. That's good news in itself. When the tournament was played there, that's one of the best. Was the best playoff event of that season, as far as excitement and all goes, even though the crowds weren't there. But also next year, and I think this is significant, the WGA has also taken its Korn Ferry event to a much better date. It's in the middle of the summer, and it's going to be, it's much better than early spring when the weather has been questionable. I think that having two of those events in Chicago. That's kind of a reflective of the old days when we was a case of having other tours here. We'd have the Champions Tour, the LPGA Tour. Now at least we've got two of those events in addition with the John Deere Classic. So I think next year, for at least 1 year, Chicago's going to feel like the golf city that it used to feel like. I think it's really unfortunate. Beyond that, I got to feel unfortunate that 5 out of 6 years, you know, Chicago, there's not a PGA Tour stop. But going as back far as I do around here, that's just almost unheard of in my book. But I guess it's the way it is for now.
Well, and you know, one of the things that became apparent, I looked at the transcript with Patrick Cantlay from earlier in the week, and he was asked realistically what the effect of Live Series Golf was on the PGA Tour, and he came right out and said it. He said, we have weaker fields every week. And, you know, the talk is now that as soon as the playoffs are over, there's at least five top 30 players in the world that are jumping to the Live Tour, and that mm-hmm. might even be a bigger number than that. And, you know, Tim Cronin, as you sit out there with the PGA Tour right out the side door, what do you think about that? And also the lack of the BMWs driving into Chicago the next few years.
Well, the chatter is that from 5 to 7 are going to make the move either after the Tour Championship or after the President's Cup if they're qualified for that. And this is the last week, by the way, European Tour people, and that's the Czech Open, I think, this week, can qualify for the President's Cup through their tour or getting points on this tour. Complicated how they do it. But if it is 7, that I thought they had a lot of people already. I don't know how you fit it all into 48 people per tournament on the LIV Tour. Here's something, too, we can think about. If the BMW isn't in town, which means big-time PGA Tour golf isn't in Chicago, would the LIV Tour, which is going to play at Rich Harvest in September, would they come back every year and effectively replace the BMW as a regular stop in Chicago? If you remember the real old days, and Lenny, you were probably a kid when this was going on, George S. May had his world championship up at Center. In fact, 2 weeks worth of golf up there, and the Western Open wasn't played in Chicago from 1939 to 1962. They stayed out of town because George S. May had the market.
Right, that's right. That's a long time ago. That's even before me on the golf beat. But it would be interesting if the LIV Tour decides that the Chicago's going to be an annual stop. There's so much. There's so much that we're going to learn over the next few months about where this stuff in golf is headed. I do want to encourage people to look at a couple things that came out just in the last day. Statements by Dottie Pepper and Ricky Fowler about the situation. I won't dwell upon what they said, but right now, but there's a lot of food for thought that both of them brought out that I hadn't been. Hadn't seen privy from other people before, and it's a topic,
Fowler especially, Lenny.
In a way, I'm very interested in it, but my views are don't coincide with everybody's either. So, be interesting. I think you'd all find interesting to look them up.
Well, Fowler especially, because he was remember What's My Line had a mystery guest at the end of the show in the old days. He was a mystery guest that flew in with Tiger on the plane to sit down with the Big 20 or so here at the Hotel DuPont downtown, but in meetings to which I was not invited, when they talked about how important it was to be loyal to the PGA Tour. Yeah, I thought you were there, or excuse me, I'm disappointed. I heard they had cheesesteaks there. It would have been great.
I didn't get out of Pine Valley in time.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, by the way, you missed Scottie Scheffler, who was there on Monday, by the way. He shot 3 under. I think that was a little better than you did, but congratulations for surviving it. What happens here next? You're right, Len. The next 3, 4, 5 months are going to be critical. How does the PGA Tour respond beyond throwing more money into their purses and adding tournaments that nobody's heard of, much essentially equaling the LIV Tour purses? What else do they do? Can they do anything else? Is there a way for them to stop the flow of players over? Will the LIV Tour fill up with players and not need to take any more? And then you'll have the AFL and the NFL effectively in golf. Nobody knows the answers to these questions. It's going to be a fascinating off season.
Well, and you know, you mentioned certainly we'll learn a lot in the next, 4 or 5 months. I think we'll learn a lot in the next 4 or 5 weeks. I think back to the question of a consistent live presence in the Chicago area. The venue coming up starting September 16th will be Jerry Rich's venue at Rich Harvest Farms. I think we've found with past tournament play there that that venue certainly is interesting. It can be a bit polarizing as to whether people truly love it or frankly hate it. And I guess I'm curious your perspective. Part of it is certainly the players, but I think part of the allure of going to these events is the courses and venues as well. And if there were to be a consistent Chicago presence for the LIV Tour, what do you think we'll see out of Rich Harvest Farms defending itself? And would that be a likely return venue if this LIV thing keeps fighting on into the future?
Len, you started.
One thing the Rich Harvest has going is that it's a place that hasn't been seen from a pro level standpoint, other than the Solheim Cup way back when. So there's still a mystique about Rich Harvest Farms. I think that the newness of it is going to help the cause there. I think we all kind of got a little tired of seeing Cog Hill. Not me, but I think that there was when the tournament was there, even when it was at Conway Farms, it was 3 years there. I think that the newness will help at Rich Harvest Farms. I think that'll draw some people there beyond, as well as the tournament, that maybe wouldn't have come to the tournament, but just would like to see what a very different facility it is. So that's one way to look at it. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if. It really wouldn't surprise me if Chicago, because of the absence of the size of the city, its history in golf, and the LIV Tour does make it a regular stop, whether it's a rotating event or whether it stays at Rich Harvest for a little while. But it wouldn't be a bad thing. Wouldn't be a bad thing to have that element of golf come to Chicago every year like it used to.
Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
The tricky part there is if it didn't play at Rich Harvest, where else would it go?
Right.
I know WGA people probably wouldn't want to see it go anywhere else because they have their respectively their own rotation, Medina, mm-hmm. Olympia Fields, and then places they hold their amateurs, Skokie, Exmoor, North Shore, and even their junior, like on Wednesday. So I think Rich Harvest might be the place, and I don't know if Jerry Rich and the WGA are all getting along that well these days either. So that might be another reason for Jerry to want to have it and say, hey, we can do this out here too, by golly.
Yeah, interesting. I know, and I'm going back a ways, but, there was a logic to how much the tour players used to like the Oak Brook area. And history of the PGA Tour being there back to the Beatrice Western Open and beyond it at Butler. But I think at one point, Rory, even you snuck out and saw a version of 18 holes within the 27 at a place like Butterfield.
Yeah.
Perhaps if there was going to be something a little less remote than, out in Sugar Grove for Rich Harvest Farms and truly something in the heart of the Chicagoland area. Not to start rumors, but maybe the potential venue there.
Yeah, the yardage is there.
Knowing people at Butterfield as I do, I can guarantee you they're not going to have a tournament there. They were approached to have a senior open there, and they do have a setup that can play it as long as 7,800 holes if they add a couple tees on some of those holes. And they said, no, thanks, we don't want to be bothered.
Ah, okay. Mm. Well, that's good to know. And, I can tell you this. That the USGA says as soon as the membership qualifications over at Butler National change, they'd like to bring the U.S. Open there, even though there's not an available Open. I'm not even sure if you can get one this decade. But I will tell you this, and every so often, and Tim and Len and I we've talked about this, a story will surface that Butler National is on the verge of allowing women to come in. And in recent conversations I've had with people who would know, that does not seem to be the case. Perhaps it was suggested to me that half the club might be interested in some sort of a situation like Pine Valley has now with three women members. Augusta, I believe, has four or five. But the problem is in order to do that, you need a 75% approval rating from the club. 25% of the club may not be for that, and 25% of the club also doesn't seem to want to vote on anything. And the problem is getting the amount of people to vote and approve membership rule change seems to be very difficult to do at Butler National, at least right now. So I don't see anything happening over there for a while as well. And we'll have to see how that goes forward. You know, Tim, I'm interested to see how things are progressing at Rich Harvest Farms, and I'm going to try to actually get out there this week and start to look at the buildup and look at the condition of a couple of greens. There was rumors, and I know you heard them at the Western Amateur, that there was a problem with the greens. Turned out there really wasn't. It was a seemed to be a planted story to discredit the event, and after talking to the people out there, I don't think that is a problem. And Tim, what do you think about also the concept of Rich Harvest Farms? The Live Series is going to expand next year. Do you think they'll have it back?
Well, I guess we have to see how the ticket and corporate sales go, and how the players receive it, and how it looks on TV. It's generally look good on TV. It's a difficult course to walk for a fan. Especially the last few holes, because they're so far removed from the bulk of the course. As I heard that story from people who had played Rich Harvest, two greens were resodded because they had not grown in properly this year, and that the seams were still showing. But that was now, it's going to be 6-7 weeks removed from when they played the tournament, so I assume everything should be hunky-dory there. And they have a good green superintendent there who can take care of things. How will it be received? I don't know. That's why we're going to go over and find out, assuming they let people in to watch and report on it.
Yeah, well, there's not going to be a huge media presence, I'm told.
There's not a huge media presence here in Philadelphia either. In Wilmington, we're 25 minutes or so from Philadelphia, and the Philadelphia Inquirer has not been represented yet in this press center, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Considering the great history of golf in that town and how well they've covered it over the years.
Well, this is a special anniversary in Philadelphia golf, which is why the Golf Association there reached out and was hoping to get a tournament in the Philadelphia area this year. And I know a couple of media members who work in that area in Philadelphia and in Delaware, and they were looking forward to the tournament. And unfortunately, due to personal conflicts, said we can't be at the tournament this week. So it'll be interesting to see what the turnout is. Meanwhile, Tim, based on where you're seated, maybe some of the local tennis media can come out and cover, because that is quite a building that you're working out of there.
It's the first media center I've ever been in where we have a moose head hanging on the wall. And I think that should be a tradition from now on at the BMW or whatever it's called, 10, 12 sponsors from now, 100 years from now. We have to bring the moose along no matter where we go.
It'd be like a lodge membership.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel very much I should have the secret handshake by now. You know?
Yeah, when you go down the center of the aisle, the posts are up at the front and the back that normally the nets for the tennis courts would hang from. So, and, you know, there's an upper deck for dining where you look through the glass, and the only thing missing is the sound of the tennis balls being swatted, boom, boom, back and forth. anyway, Len Zeem, some thoughts from you a little bit more on this year in golf, what we've seen, what we haven't, and has there been too much taken away from the sport? And some people are saying LIV is causing a distraction and we haven't really been able to focus on golf. Do you find that to be true?
No, I don't. It's a distraction, but it's not, it's certainly not, I don't think it's been a negative, to be honest with you. I think that it's created a lot of thought, but it's also brought a lot of attention to golf. Now, some of that attention may not be well received by a lot of people, but I don't think it's I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a thing that's got people talking about golf even more than they would have otherwise, and it's. It's kind of a story. It's a funny thing. It's a story that I'm very interested in, but you know, there's so much that we're going to still be hearing about. There's so much more to think about and debate about that. I think that anything that's creating that kind of discussion is a good thing. I might add one other thought here site for the Live Tour in Chicago that I think we really should be bringing up. It seems to me a natural one, Kemper Lakes. I think that that would be a real good site for even if it was bouncing back between Rich Harvest, where it's located, and Kemper on the north part. I think, and that's already held a major championship in a lot of big tournaments in the past. I think that one ought to come into the conversation somewhere along the line.
Well, they have back tee boxes. Yeah, the tee boxes now are sitting back at 7,500, 7,600, so there's plenty of length if they want to do that. Tim, anybody you'd like to nominate as a potential live course if for some reason Rich Harvest Farms didn't want to have it back next year and the or wanted to take a one-year pass just because next year, again, it's going to be the only time in the next 4 years the BMW is going to be here?
Well, Kemper is a great idea. I hadn't thought of that one. That's excellent. No, I don't have any others, really. It's interesting. It's the Outlier Tour, and they haven't even gotten a television deal yet. If they get an American television deal, maybe more clubs would want to have interest. You know, that was the great notion that Joe Jemsek had, aside from the fact that he wanted to help caddy programs as a former caddy himself, when all of a sudden the Western Open could no longer be played at Butler National because of the whole Shoal Creek thing. He realized, hey, wait, we can get on TV. Maybe another public course would want to get on TV. Think about it that way. What other great public courses do we have here in Chicago that might want publicity? That could easily be a way to get in there.
Right. Well, no doubt one place that we know it won't be is in the private realm is Medina Country Club. I know when we came out of the break, we heard Justin Thomas talking about the upcoming renovations. And guys, maybe we'll tap into that just a little bit more of what's down the road for Medina. And I think big stories to come in the Chicago area in general. We're going to take our last break and we'll return with more Golfers on Golf Radio.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
It's really good. I think my game suits a golf course like this. I can hit driver a lot. I can, you know, take some of the trouble out of play if I drive it well. It seems like a, you know, even though, you know, today I could have been a few shots better, obviously, I'm still really happy with how I played. I feel like if I play like that the next 3 days, you know, I should have a good chance.
All right, that is Rory McIlroy responding to a question from the other Rory, me, at the his press briefer post-round on Thursday. And it sounds like the players, for the most part, really like Wilmington. So who knows? Will the BMW ever go back to Wilmington Country Club again down the road? We will see. Guys, with some of the remaining 11 minutes that we have here, let's talk a little bit with what we might see going forward into next year. I know we mentioned the BMW will be at Olympia Fields, but what else is there to look forward to? And what do you see in your crystal ball, Lindsay?
Well, I tell you, I think that this has got to happen sooner or later. I think that with the looking ahead, we've got to see the LPGA back in Chicago, and we've got to see the Champions Tour back in Chicago. They have to be seeing a market here that's being basically untapped for the last few years, and both of those organizations have held well received tournaments here in past years. It seems like it's too good of a market for either one of those tours to pass it up in some form or another. Now, There's certainly the courses that they could go back to and play. That Kemper Lakes keeps coming back into my head, but it wouldn't have to be there. I know that Stonebridge and Aurora was for at least for a while there really trying to get back onto the into the tournament scene in some way or another. So I think that maybe the PGA Tour isn't the way to think of it long term. I mean, we do have Olympia Fields, we do have Medina in the President's Cup, but those other two tours, they haven't been coming here for a while, and I think I think both of them have to be looking at the possibility of, hey, Chicago would be a great place for us to be again.
Tim?
All you need is a sponsor. I hope the Lenzeam LPGA Classic. I can't wait to see that. Yeah, but that is the problem, isn't it? Now, in the old days, as you know, a corporate CEO could convince his board to spend a couple $1 million on a golf tournament, and everybody had a fun weekend, and they got on TV. Now, BMW here is, I think, spending to the tune of $15 million a year. Good heavens, that's actual money when you get down to it. The Senior Tour LPGA wouldn't be nearly as expensive, but it'd probably be four or five once you count everything up. I don't know how quickly you can do that and make a good return on your investment. Can you get the television ratings? Can you get the salespeople out there or the customers out there, as John Deere does so well at their tournament? You know, you got to make it a win-win, not just for old sporting sake, but for the company that sponsors it now. And it's all about money these days.
Well, you know, guys, the one thing is we see a local golf company, Tour Edge Golf, making such a big splash on the PGA Tour champions. And you wish that they could get together with some other Western suburban companies and maybe form a partnership group to bring a tournament here. Would be a great place to show off how good their equipment has become in recent years. And so, obviously next year it'll be interesting to see where are all those hundreds of Medina members going to play golf. Yeah, they'll still have two courses, but some of them will tell you we don't have enough availability now. And with one course going to be closed all next year, it'll be interesting to see where they go play. And Ed Stevenson, I know that you guys have made no secret of it. You've been talking to Greg Martin in the next step of improvements at DuPage Golf is over at Maple Meadows. Could anything start over there next year, or are you still 2 years away?
No. You know, a project like that, Rory, takes a lot of planning and a long lead time, a lot of permitting. So I think even if all those plans were set and everything was ready to go, there's still so much demand on the construction companies, the Wadsworth Golfs of the world, that construction projects are booked several years out. So we'll stay busy in the planning phases there going into 2023, but really looking at something that might break ground late 24 into 2025 at Maple Meadows. And in the meanwhile, peering in that crystal ball, I think I'd be curious to see not so much what the best players in the world and the tournament golfers are doing, the professionals. I can't wait to see what the public golfer continues to do and the club members. It's been amazing. We saw the boost during COVID, and we saw that the golfers that came out have stuck around in 2021. And of course, now with, major league ballparks busy and all these other things going on to compete for people's time and dollars, the golf rounds and revenues in the Chicago area this year, I can tell you firsthand, are up yet again. So there's an appetite for golf. It is not waning. I think we've seen long enough that there are indeed cycles in golf as in every industry. But I think one of the stories we really got to look at here in the Chicago area is, have we reached a nice equilibrium in terms of golf course inventory and demand for golf and a sustainable future? There are challenges for golf like anywhere else where the fuel costs are affecting operators as well as fertilizers, so supplies. I've never seen it so hard to get golf balls into the pro shop, but the nice thing is the demand is still there, and I think watching to see how golf manages this boom, hopefully better than we did previous booms in past decades will sustain this golf golf game decades into the future.
Yeah, well, there's been some talk that, oh, people are saying, well, you can tell golf's already starting to fade. Well, no, it isn't. And you're not the only course operator that's telling me that revenue is still up a little bit. And that is... That is really good to see. Coming up in September, the USGA Mid-Amateur, which will have some Illinois players in it, is taking place at Erin Hills. And their version of Shore Acres up there, Blue Mound Country Club, which is a great classic, Seth Rainer. And then the Men's U.S. Senior Open is back in Wisconsin next year at Century World. Len Zeem was just up there and saw how great that place is. And it's expected to be a battle between two top Wisconsin golfers, Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly. And so we might see a huge turnout at that event next year as well. So that's a couple things that are on the calendar. And as the clock winds down on us here, we do need to take a moment not only to thank Nicole Giray for jumping in with us this morning as she prepares for the U.S. Senior Women's Open this week. We appreciate Len getting on the line at the Palm Air Country Club Studios in Sarasota, and Tim Cronin for picking up the phone at the BMW Championship in Wilmington. But we also got to thank Brian Stinson, our producer, who jumped in with us this year and has been outstanding. Sometimes you get new people running everything. It takes time. It didn't take time with Brian. Brian has been knocking it down the center of the fairway ever since week one. We got to thank our sponsors. We got to thank Erin Hills, John Morissette, and the retiring Rich Tock up at Erin Hills for being with us, and for Dan Bradley and Andy Michelson and the group over at Mistwood for supporting another year. Brett Barcell at Mount Prospect Golf Club. We also have to thank over at Klein Creek Golf Club, Brian Tulk, the general manager. And also I want to thank one of my bosses, we'll think about that for a second. Anyway, I want to thank everybody over at Heritage Oaks, including Greg Barron and the marketing director, Joan Skovic, for getting on the program here in the middle of the season. And we appreciate all the sponsors that we have. We'd like to also thank our GM here, Mark Pinsky, for letting us come back for another year. And of course, it was great having Bill Berger with us most of the year. We know he's out of town here for the finale, but it's been a quicker run this year without something in September like a Ryder Cup to run shows right up to. But I think we've covered a lot of golf and, really brought a lot of great stories to the airwaves of Chicago.
And, of course, the just even the concept of Rory having a boss would freeze anyone in their tracks for just a moment because,
Well, I started to think because, you know what, I actually have more than one. At one time, we had four bosses at the golf course,
And, absolutely.
And over at Heritage Oaks, it's not just Greg Barron. It's John Billiter. It's Bill Madigan. It's Billy McNeil, who just went on to another career opportunity. And I'm trying to think how to keep all four of them straight.
No, I know you've enjoyed being part of the team, and we've had a lot of fun talking about Heritage Oaks and, another example of one of these public course renovations that has really helped reinvigorate golf in communities throughout the Chicagoland. Of course, while we're throwing out thank yous, we certainly save the best for last. We need to thank the listeners. The chance to share the game of golf, I think, is one of the things that makes this thing special. And many people share golf in different ways, playing as a tournament player or writing stories for more than 50 years or getting on the air to talk a bit about it, teaching a lesson. There's so many ways to share this game. It's one of the things that makes it special. And our opportunity to join you and be part of your Saturday morning and share the game with you deserves a thank you to you.
Well, Ed, I appreciate that. Also, we want to remind everybody, the only year-round golf news source in Chicago, golfersongolf.com. And also, you can pick up some issues of the Illinois Golfer. Tim will pump them out in the winter as well as his schedule permits. But we're going to have a lot more on there. We will have a lot of preview about the Live Golf that's coming up at Rich Harvest Farms next month as well. And there's some other events that are happening golf-wise. There's still the Illinois PGA with a couple of tournaments yet. So we will have more on that. And stay tuned to golfersongolf.com because we could have a few surprises to report about before too long.
Right. Well, hey, Len and Tim, we wish you thank you again for your time, your insights, your expertise, and wish you good health as we head into the fall golf season. Can't wait until we see each other in person and tee it up again.
Great to be with you. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Same here. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. We'll see you on the golf course. From all of us at Golfers on Golf Radio, have a great rest of your golf season, and we look forward to seeing you out on the golf course and talking to you as soon as we can.
Hit them straight.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.